1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Game. Yeah, game. Oh, only for dual core processors. Oh gosh, yeah, it's got like loads of banging, loads of blood, gore all over the screen. Wow. Yeah, wicked. Great. I mean, like, shoot all the bad guys. Shoot Al Qaeda. Get rid of the Taliban. Oh, yeah. It's got graphics and polygons and wicked shit. Actually, I think I'm going to commit suicide. Oh, sod this. I mean, honestly, what happened to all the decent, proper reasons that we play games? I know I'm only just 23, but I remember such important, influential games, and there were wonderful things. I mean, what was it? About 15 years ago, people were going crazy over a 32-bit console because things were going in 3D. Nowadays, it's all about over-the-top, oh, let's try and be all Shadow Splinter Cell type things. I think all I've got to do is just sort of sit back and just have a little imagination session to remember my childhood. What happened in my childhood? Well, what would it be? Simple little blip blop got your attention. And the graphics were so horribly pixelated that whereas it was actually you're running away from a horrible dragon, you thought you were running away from a fire-breathing duck.
The following podcast is given a universal rating. Yippee! Podcast.
When I was about 5, so this would have been 1990, came walking home with me mummy from primary school. She said, "I've got a surprise for you." What could it be? Me thinking that it was, what, a lollipop or a wonderful packet of crisps, or we were having Chinese tonight, but suddenly, it wasn't, you know, a little Kinder Surprise in a box or something like that. It was more a computer in a box. And, of course, this was new stuff for me. Of course, being 5, anything's new to me. So, it's a monitor, and it's a little thing called an Amstrad CPC. Okay. She did all the little plugging in, and by the evening, turned on the computer, turned on the monitor, and greeted with a weird blue screen. So, F1, Amstrad Basic, wasn't having any of that. So, got down, looked at the other option, F2. And it was completely wow. It's this whole monitor, the whole screen just came to life. And you've got a little animation of the burning bit, and then another bit saying rubber, and then little whip, little animation, background bits, and you listen to all this blinky blonk music. It was wonderful, and my eyes just sort of lit up. Okay, maybe it took me a few moments, because obviously a new thing, and it was like, what am I supposed to do? And you just looked at it, and you thought, wow. And okay. And then the high score table comes up, and then, oh, wow, 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 zigzag, bib, bob. 3 letters, that's a bit tiny. What am I supposed to... Oh, I suppose it's for your initials. Well, I had to be told it was for your initials. And then the animation had come on again. And the music's still going, and by this time I would have pressed fire and would have started playing the game. It's only as I got older did I actually appreciate the music. No, not like that, like this. That's better. Well, I've got to be a bit more enthusiastic about this. Come on, this is my kiddie time. Okay, so let's go to another game that when I did appreciate music, I thought, right, I'm going to load this game, not to play the game, but let's play the music. Glider Rider! I'd better explain what all these games are about. Well, first of all you had Burning Rubber, which was about the Le Mans Grand Prix in the south of France. What was so special about that was it had been released previously under the name of WEC Le Mans. However, it was inferior graphics and inferior music, but still made by the same composer, Jonathan Dunn. You had David Whittaker playing Glider Rider. David Whittaker, very famous, as I explained last series, and an exceptionally difficult game again because you have to try and figure out how to convert your bike into one of those wing glidey things, hang glider, that's it, and that required some weird joystick movements that nobody ever knew, not even the magazines did. The one you're listening to at the moment is a game called Espionage, which is meant to be some sort of Cold War board game type thing where you're supposed to steal all the film. Anyway, I'm not going to waste time. I'm going to go back to another game that I played at a very young age. Aliens by Electric Dreams. I've forgotten who actually made this one. I think it was a really, really important composer. I'll find out during the break. Stop! I've just remembered something. I'm going to have a right good rant about it now. You know the CPC? Well, actually, no, you might not. But I'm going to tell you now. Free channels, a square noise, and yeah, wonderful. But companies like Domark thought, oh, we need a fourth channel. We need a bass channel. So what they decided to do is that they took the internal tape drive of the CPC and used that as a fourth speaker. Fourth channel. So, if you wanted to play a game by Domark or Sega, like Scrambled Spirits, you had to sort of cower in fear and hope that you'd soon lose interest as you'd hear things like this. With a huge panic over my desk now that I've done that, and of course back in the day a huge panic about whether I'm going to be able to load a tape because the bloody starter motor's broken, Let's get back to aliens. Oh my gosh, John Hurt, are you okay? There is a disease that you can catch through unprotected sexual intercourse. Oh shoot, that's the wrong movie. And the wrong quote. Oh, for goodness sake. Right, you just had Aliens, which was crawling through all the sewers, tunnels and empty rooms whilst the aliens closed in on you to rescue Newt, kill the Queen and escape from the ship. Even though you couldn't reach past the fifth room because all the aliens were darn tough. At the moment, you've got American Turbo King, which was a very short, crummy racer, but nice bit of music, even though it's a bit short. Anyway, on to the next topic. Dizzy. Before Sonic the Hedgehog started poking his head out and waving his little finger, you had Dizzy, the little egg, which was the little mascot-type puzzle platform adventure cute little thing. Codemasters released a box set at around, 91-92, of five of the games. One of them was Dizzy Down the Rapids, which is the first thing you'll hear, and Dizzy Prince of the Yolk Folk, which was exclusively for the Amstrad, and then it was so popular they decided to release it for all the other formats. Like a good Motown hit, we fade out. In fact, I've got Dizzy right here. He's about, 20 years old now? So he's here for a good old interview with me. Dizzy, how did you feel about lobbing apples? Going into a barrel, chucking them at all the baddies? Oh, next song. Wasn't that lovely? Yeah. Just because it was the 90s doesn't necessarily mean that the magazines have got fed up with these old retro consoles. There was a hardy team that still had a population of about 30,000. The readership was 30,000, sorry. Amstrad Action was my publication of choice. They often kept up with the latest developments, and when Psygnosis was announcing a game called Lemmings, it was being released for the Commodore, the Amstrad and the Spectrum. Although I can't imagine how you would do it for the Spectrum, but anyway, move on. This was how I got into various games, through its cover tapes. And let's see, I'm going to give you the music of three of the games at the moment. You've got Croco Magneto, which is a ball bouncing game, where you've got to hit the blocks, but then alongside your little challenging path is some nasty bits which will kill you immediately, and you have to start all over again from the start. The second one, the next one I'm going to play in full, is Switchblade by Ben Daglish. Yes, another popular music person. Switchblade is your action platformer type thing with a little manga character. Ooh, enjoy! third game is Anarchy from Houston, music by Dave Rogers. Popular for the CPC, did a load of yummy music, but unheard of elsewhere. Poor little egg. In the bin you go. That was Anarchy by Dave Rogers. That's some shoot the blocks type thing with your little spaceship whilst avoiding the enemies. I suggest you give it a go just for a laugh. At the moment you've got APB, All Points Bulletin, which is a nice little cop car simulator.
Get him!
Sorry, back on track. The Oliver Twins were the two people famous for designing Dizzy, amongst a couple of other things. They cut their teeth for a Saturday morning, I think it was multicoloured swap shop. They had a competition saying, design a game for the BBC Micro and the winner will have it published. The Oliver Twins were the only people who actually handed in an actual entry instead of ideas. So, of course, they won it naturally, and they had a publishing deal on the BBC Micro, and then went on to other things involving the Z80. Anyway, they designed a game called Incredible Shrinking Sphere under the name of Force Field. Don't know why. the monopoly of the CPC in my house ended a couple of years later when one wonderful Christmas morning I unwrapped a dirty great big box to find out there was a dirty great big box inside. The Commodore 64, or if you want to be technical, the Commodore 64C. The old plastic bread bin was a very interesting machine because you'd have to learn not just letters, not just shift letters, but also control and graphics letters, and it all got inherently complicated. The basic was awful. I didn't buy many games for it because I just wasn't so interested in it, but you know, the sound chip wasn't that bad, and there were a couple of games that caught my ear as I got the occasional game every now and again. At the moment, what you're listening to is Fig Again, or F-I-G Again, by Sami Sapa and a whole load of Swedish people. This was actually given to me as part of a demo for an advert for the postal publication Club Light. It was in one of the cover tapes for Commodore Force. In this demo, they said that it was called Dying Worlds by Maniacs of Noise. So, of course, off I go on IRC and typed a little few questions to a certain Mr. Ryan Ohrhand, who I'm sure you know from the last series. Ryan, did you actually do something called Dying Worlds?
No, I don't appear to have done that. Who told you?
Apparently this publication, Commodore Force.
I don't think that's right.
I think I'll leave you with one last CPC thing before I get on to the Commodore 64 story. Here we go. One of those sad people who liked playing Game Workshop games, so Warhammer 40k, Warhammer 40k, that one involving a battle and some piece of hardware. Oh yeah, Warhammer. Yes, well, you'll enjoy Space Hulk, which Game Workshop also developed, and they turned it into a computer game involving the same rules, same simplicity, and all that lovely non-gore related gore fun. Space Crusade for the Commodore 64.
We'll be right back.
longest fade ever. Yes, I'm going to call it quits for this episode. I've been GGU Draco, I've been wasting your time for the last 40 minutes, and I'm going to leave you off with two things, or three, or four, whatever. I've been GGU Draco, you have been listening to Podcast 2.1. This has been done using Audacity and a very temperamental SoundMax internal sound card, the Order G2s. In a box. Next episode will be about, more childhood memories. Don't worry, I won't bore you too much. Of course, greets to the people who might actually be listening to this, so Junk Monkey and Fury. At the moment, you're listening to Marcus Siebold doing the music for Turrican 2, a very popular action platform, kill'em, shoot'em, space type thing, which basically pushed all the boundaries for Commodore 64 gaming. Wicked smart. Now, the way I started. What happened when I turned on the monitor, turned on the keyboard of my CPC, I got burning rubber. When I turned on the TV and turned on my Commodore 64, this was the first thing I got to hear. Till next time, bye bye. Thank you.
emergency services. What service do you require?
Yes, I'm in need of a police.
You're through to Police Constabulary Hampshire, 3449.
Yes, I've got a dead body in my house.
Can you describe the dead body for me, sir?
It's an egg.
Sir, please don't call this line again. You are a nuisance to the public.